Nurse, nap, nervous, nerf, derf, tap, peed. Zero, snaz, no, roll, and yes, need, no, snip, no, snip, off, no, yeah, no, jam, out, jimmy, no, no, baby, jib.
Whoa.
Rex, dip, but, jit, cook, but, zigal, up, I, jump, on, but,
yeah, no,
Quest, knack, dodge,
zone, boy, I'm,
Rick knock sheik book cast nick what
that one some ones in them some
real same what sheik what it hurts but you sure that
same been some no words I'm a mood to my zibs I'm a mood to my zibs I'm a mood to my
zibs I'm a mood to my zibs I'm a mood to my
zibs I'm a mood.
Fuck that.
Okay, that's enough of that.
Are the chimps done yelling at each other yet?
Now we can start talking in super slow-mo.
Hey, everybody.
I really wish we could fucking afford, like, what is it called? Like, a special effects board or something for you guys. I mean, this isn't really working out.
Some of them,
It's not working out, Scotty. What do you mean?
Like the low-rent version of that.
Actually,
slow-mo.
An effects board is on our to-buy list.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's coming.
So, yeah, you're going to, Paul, you'll probably get control because you're the one who likes to do the voices. So you can
I'm a demon
or whatever the fuck dumb
I'm
shit.
A little demon, short and stout.
So, how you guys been?
What you thinking?
Thinking, like some nachos.
What you thinking?
Dude, I called Scotty earlier. I'm like, yo, Scotty, where you at, bro? So I thought we said 2. I'm like, looking at the clock. It's already like 2:05 anyway. I'm like, well, we didn't, but it's fucking 2:05 even if we did.
Oh, dude, that's Scott Stevens, dude.
Scott Stevens time, dude.
Oh, damn. Scott Stevens time. What do you have to say for yourself,
Scotty? Yeah, Scotty.
Man, look what Stevie done.
Okay, that's fair enough.
Fair enough, yeah.
Should I just tell that?
I mean,
should I get into that?
Yeah, dude, why not?
Should we drag that into the fucking light?
Yeah, dude, of course.
Okay.
Every time I have a great... Why didn't the pot roast shit about Stevie came out? It was just to call Stevie out for his bullshit.
Yeah, well, he doesn't get called out for enough, does he?
He doesn't.
All right, so Saturday, I call Stevie up, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, Stevie, can you help me with some shit around my house? I'll make sure, you know, you get some food and some money
scratch,
and shit.
A little scratch?
Yeah, you know. And yeah, because
a little cheddar.
He'd helped me out before, and he did a good job.
Uh-huh.
And I can't take that away. So yeah, I'm like,
Stevie did a lot of work for you, actually.
Yeah, he was
ton.
Real super helpful. We got a lot of shit done in my house. You know, I've been reorganizing, moving shit around and all this stuff. So I'm like, all right, yeah, Stevie, come on by again, you know, if you're not busy. And if, you know, if he'd have said, nah, I don't want to do that, I've been totally okay with that. But he's like, yeah, that's cool. That's fine. I'll come on down. I'll come on by. It's like, all right, cool. Rock on.
Stevie Turo, come on down.
So then I wake up at 9:30 the next morning because I told him to come at 10. I'm like, yeah, come by at 10. I wake up at 9:30. I'm on Chantix and shit, so my sleep is fucked. So I wake up really fucking tired. Like, dude, I need a little bit more sleep than this. So I text Stevie. I'm like, hey, Stevie, if you're not on your way yet, could you just come at 11? And he says, yeah, bro, see you then.
I will be there then, brother.
And I'm like, okay, cool. So I bought myself a little more time, set my alarm for fucking 10:50. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get a little more sleep. Went right back to sleep because I was super tired. Wake up, 10:50, get dressed, get all the stuff, you know, ready, brush my teeth, whatever the fuck. 11 comes and goes. 11:05, 11:10, 11:15, 11:20, 11:25, 11:30. Finally, I'm
Wait
just
a minute.
Like,
I'm going to guess. Stevie didn't show up.
Yeah.
What?
So I call mom, who you know is the Stevie
apologist.
Fucking apologist extraordinaire.
She's also the oracle of Stevie. She always knows where he is.
Yes. Yeah, so
and
I'm
what
like,
he's up to.
So I call her. I'm like, hey, is Stevie around you? Where is Stevie? She's like, oh, he's in his room blaring loud music. I'm like, what? I'm like, yeah, he was actually supposed to come over here today. I just texted him this morning. She's like, oh, well, he didn't understand your text message. He thought that it meant come anytime before 11. I'm like, well, he actually came over there at 10:15, and when there was no answer, he got mad. And then he came over here and yelled at us when we told him that, you know, we tried to explain to him that you meant to come at 11 because I guess he shared the text with him or something.
And they read it and
Which, yeah, and they're like, I think he's saying that he wanted you to come at 11, Stevie. And Stevie was like not having that correct interpretation pushed towards him. So then he throws a tantrum and runs in his room and fucking plays some loud music.
I wonder what
Stevie's 25. Just reminding you guys, was Stevie's 25.
Now, TJ, do you think it'd be fair to give Stevie a chance to explain himself?
Sure.
Oh my god, dude, you're gonna call Stevie?
I always do this, dude.
Oh my god.
We need to get like a phone thing hooked into the board.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, Stevie, what's up, man?
Nothing much. I just got off of work and now I'm just watching some TV.
Oh, I got you, man. Okay, so apparently I didn't realize there's someone on between you and TJ this weekend. So did you have Mom and Steve said you got mad and you're supposed to go show up at TJ's house at 11? And you got mad and showed up there at 10:15.
Well, he sent me a text while I was driving over there. So
okay, so you were already on your way. But he said you He says that you actually responded to you, and you said you were cool with that.
No, I said already. I'll see you soon, bro.
I don't know, TJ. What are you saying, TJ?
All right, I'm gonna read you this text stream here.
All right, TJ's about to read this. So this is your words.
Yeah, I'm going to read this.
Oh, this is your word, Stevie.
I'm going to read this shit. So, here we go. This is, let me go to Stevie's thing. All right, so I said to him, blah, 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 blah.
You said bye, 11.
I said, if you haven't left yet, which you could have just said, I have left and I'm on my way. I said, if you haven't left yet, just swing by at 11, okay? See you soon. All righty, see you soon, bro.
it's really hard to text and drive, you know?
I mean, okay, sure, I suppose so.
But why did you get mad?
Well, just that I was, like, really looking forward to hanging out with TJ and shit whenever I got there, and nobody was there. I just felt like I was, like, you know, just forgotten about it, completely honest.
What do you say to that, TJ?
I don't know, dude.
Did you just forget Stevie?
No, I told him to come at 11, dude, and he didn't come at 11.
Stevie, so why didn't you just turn around and come back at 11 or just, like, go chill and then come at 11?
Dude, if he'd have told me that he was already on his way, because I started the text like that. I said, if you're not on your way. If he'd have just said, I'm already on my way, I'd have just said, okay, fuck it. I'll just get up now and drink some coffee or something.
Yeah, see, that is a good point. Why didn't you tell TJ that you were on the way?
What the fuck?
I said I'll see you soon, bro. That means that I'm on my way.
No, that doesn't. That's very vague, though. I mean...
TJ just laughed like an old man with emphysema.
But he said be there at 11,
right? I'm
trying
to hold it back.
But you were on your way. Shouldn't you have just said to him, like, or called him up and said, hey, man, I'm actually already on my way there.
Like, do you still want me to go do that thing or something? Yeah,
well, I'll arrange that with you some point.
Come by at 8.
No, don't come by at 8. We'll figure it out. All right, Stevie. Thanks for chatting with us.
Yeah, thanks for clearing
it
up.
See you later, buddy.
All right,
bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay.
Man,
you guys heard Stevie's version of events.
Yeah.
He was already on his way.
Right.
But he didn't say that, but he was, according to him.
Right. He was on his way.
And you forgot about him, TJ.
Forgot. He's the forgotten brother, Stevie. Stevie the forgotten brother.
I was apparently in the wrong
Here's the issue with that. One, Stevie turned off his phone.
Yeah.
So Cheetah tried to call Stevie and said, hey, man, whatever, just come by. Stevie would not answer any calls or was unable to be reached.
Why doesn't he just do what I do when I get here and TJ's still asleep? Go to the porch.
Yeah, just hang on the porch till
go
I show
up. Go sit
on
the porch. You will hear TJ when he's awake. The call of his people. There it is. That was a. I was doing a hideology today, and about 10 or 15 minutes into it, I heard that, and I was like, "Okay, TJ, is awake."
You know, I think
the beast no longer slumbers.
Yeah, I think the way to solve this problem, TJ, is don't ask people to come by your house early. Just ask them to come by later.
That was always a thing right at the beginning when we first started DFF. and we were still doing like Cinema for Cynics full swing too. Like, you guys were always trying to skew our meetings earlier in the day. Like, it would get earlier and earlier and earlier, and every fucking time somebody would sleep through it. Every time. Scotty would be like, all right, 9 a.m., no fucking around, no bullshit! And I'd be like, all right. So I'd fucking, like, stumble down there at 9 a.m., and I'd be, like, sitting in the room by myself. So it's like, why are we just, like, let's plan things noon and after. And since we started doing that, everything's been great.
Everything's been way smooth.
Yeah.
See you guys tonight.
We're not Paul's morning
like,
people.
Oh shit! Oh shit!
I mean, there were like crust in my eyes, like, on a cup of coffee.
Oh my Where'd god! Where'd you dance, Scotty? I'm in this sleep.
Man, fuck that! Man. All right, so today's show is about plastic surgery. This is a Paul show.
Yeah, it is.
I will bring this unfortunate
woman.
Well,
no, put us back up for a second, okay, TJ, go ahead. before we all talk right. about that unfortunate young lady.
Sure.
Scotty, I got a question for you. What would you do if you woke up one day and you were horribly disfigured? Like TJ.
Like TJ?
Like a horrible, shaggy homunculus, more beast than man.
Well, in this area, you know.
Misshapen, mismatched features.
In this area, you know, Paul, there's a large lake. I would just go and throw myself in, weigh myself down, and just, I'd end it all.
Well, you would not be the first in history to suffer that tragic end. Facial disfigurement, in particular, is a super psychologically damaging thing. Being as brazenly hideous as TJ.
Just want to say, dude, that you're really a brave person, man.
You really are. I applaud you. The fact that you haven't flung yourself into Lake Pontchartrain, TJ.
I didn't know it was that bad.
TJ, I admire you, TJ. Good job, dude. We believe in you, TJ. We believe in you, TJ. We believe in TJ. We believe in TJ. Good. I don't know how you do it. God, you're so ugly. Ugh. I want to fucking vomit from my look at you, TJ. I'm like, oh, my stomach's retching, dude.
I know.
It's horrible.
So the face serves a dual role as both a biological organ and an organ of identity. Like other organs, the face has a unique anatomy and physiology that contribute to its biological functions. So the face is not merely just skin over a skull. It's meaningful in ways to human interaction. Like attraction, for example, is a big one that people that are disfigured suffer from. Sure. There's a genuine sense of attraction when you see somebody that you're attracted to, and it's hard to, you know, remove a nose from that equation, or remove both eyes from that equation, or remove a lower jaw from that equation.
I mean,
you know
even just
mean?
Being viewed as, I mean, a lot of psychological studies have found that even being viewed as less attractive, I mean, like, people are trying to get more benefits. People are, they're like more likely, you know, minor things slide. Oh, you forgot that thing? Don't worry about it. Whereas right. you're ugly, it's like, no, wait, you better have everything in order here.
And it's beyond just being ugly. It's being disfigured. It's being not exactly put together in the same way as everybody else around you for one reason or another, whether it's genetic or the result of an accident. So the role in identity with the face is super, super important. And you can put up the picture of that young woman now if
yeah,
you'd
okay.
like.
Sure.
Self-concept revolves around the face. And it's the primary means by which humans recognize and interact with one another, and the primary mode of self-expression, emotional expression, and social interaction. So there's a very well-defined relationship with one's face and how they perceive themselves and how the people around them perceive them. It's probably the most important thing about you when it comes to that social interaction. And you can imagine having something like this here, which is relatively common. It's cleft palate and pretty easily reparable now with modern technology.
Not sure. So much then, though.
But in times prior to modern plastic surgery techniques, which is what we're here to talk about, having something like this was kind of a death sentence in a way. Because it meant that you were going to be at the margins of society. You were never going to be accepted. A lot of people had no recourse and resorted to just covering the disfigurement. Men that had this would grow out their mustaches and beards really long to cover it and just go through their lives with it. Women that had it would veil themselves. Basically it was just cover this up. I don't want people to see this about me. And that it was like that for most of human history. I mean, we don't know how the cavemen dealt with people who had congenital facial disfigurements or horrible disfigurements from injury, but we can extrapolate, I think, a little bit of their thinking from ours, right?
I think in a society like that, it'd probably be like, this no look like that. Boom!
Now, there's a lot of rumors about disfigured babies being treated horribly in the ancient world, and I tried to track down any credible sources for those and actually found a lot of them debunked. Especially,
unsurprisingly.
Especially the old meme about the Spartans. You know, you remember at the beginning of 300?
Right, holding the baby up right. on the yeah.
And they inspect the baby, and they've actually looked at these pits where for a long time it was speculated that this happened. And it was actually, I think it came from a writing of a contemporary historian that said that this happened. But all of the sites where he said it happened at are filled with the bones of men. There were no child bones found. So
it was more like just a death sentence, pushed right. them off the rocks.
There were probably the social stigma that comes with being disfigured is very real to this day. But we have it better than people had it back in the day. Before reconstructive surgery, you can hit the next one, TJ. Okay. This is John Merrick, the Elephant Man.
Damn.
One of the most...
Doesn't really look like an elephant.
Well, I mean, he was called the Elephant Man because if you look at his feet, and it's kind of hard to see here, and his hand there that's most affected.
Right, he had the elephantitis.
But it has a very kind of... It looks like an elephant's foot, almost. And that's right. where he got it from. But you're right. He looks nothing like an elephant.
He should have gone and got himself a fucking trunk, my man.
Yeah, I mean, he actually subsisted as a freak show performer and was studied very extensively. There's a movie that was made about him that's pretty good. I think the movie's been made twice now, if I'm not mistaken. But his choice in life was basically to just veil himself from head to toe. And if you go to the next one, this is really how John Merrick traveled around most of the time. In a getup very much like this, with a hat and a mask covering it, with a slit for his one good eye to see out of, and a robe covering all of his physical deformities. And there's really no other way for him to go through his life.
It's like something from like a Nine Inch Nails music video or something.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of does. I think this is one from one of the films, but I might be wrong about that.
Cool.
So, now, I thought that plastic surgery was a... Especially given the existence of guys like this in relatively recent history, that plastic surgery was a relatively modern invention, and I found myself to be wrong. As I often am when I do research for these episodes, my preconceptions are challenged. So I did find a little bit of evidence to suggest that in the 6th century BC, there was a physician named Sushruta.
Sushruta!
This is not him here. We'll talk about this guy in a second.
Okay.
But that's fine. Sushruta, his most well-known contribution to plastic surgery is the reconstruction of the nose, known as rhinoplasty. The process was described as such. The portion of the nose to be covered should first be measured with a leaf. Then a piece of skin of the required size should be dissected.
I love that a leaf is a fucking unit of measurement.
First, grab a leaf.
Then a piece of skin of the required size is dissected from the living skin of the cheek and turned back to cover the nose, keeping a small pedicle attached to the cheek. This part of the nose to which the skin is to be attached should be made raw by cutting the nasal stump with a knife. The physician then should place the skin on the nose and stitch the two parts swiftly, keeping the skin properly elevated, blah, 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 blah. It goes on.
So I got to imagine the results of that were not too impressive.
So from what I was able to get it described, it was more of just a stopgap so that you weren't immediately stand out like horrible in the streets.
Right.
It was definitely not a real nose that you were left with or anything that looked like a real nose, but it was a flap of skin covering what would have normally been an open cavity in your face.
Yes.
So it was not exactly for looking good, but rather to look... okay,
passable.
At a glance,
yeah,
and not draw the eye of everybody in the room. So that was really all people could get back then. That was the only comfort, and that was really only for noses. A lot of these other disfigurements that we were talking about, people had to persist with. This is Gaspare Tagliacozzi. I love his name, Gaspare Tagliacozzi.
I am Gaspare.
He was the first to write a textbook for fellow and future cosmetic surgeons. He worked mainly on rhinoplasty, so the replacement of the nose was a big deal back in the day.
Yeah, it went strong for 10 centuries up to him, so
yeah,
still going to this day.
You know, back in the day, you used to losing your nose was a sign of venereal disease. Like people that had very profound venereal disease, the cartilage in their nose would get infected with it, and they'd lose their nose, and then they would walk around with this big hole. So rhinoplasty was really the thing that people worked on, and it was really, honestly, if you think about it, one of the most important things. It's right in the center of your face. And keeping in mind all those things we talked about the importance of your face and your self-identity and how others perceive you, it makes sense that for all these centuries, they were mostly working on trying to replace people's noses. So the way that he went about doing it was similar to the way I described with Sushruta.
Sushruta.
If you go to the next picture there, TJ.
Here is a... I don't even know what the fuck's going on here.
So a model of the nose is constructed from parchment or leather.
Okay.
This model is then laid on the forearm and a line drawn around it. The marked area is then cut around and separated from the underlying areas in such a way that the bottom of the nose flap remains attached to the arm, just like we picture here. If you go to the next one, it's actually kind of a better picture of what's going on.
Okay.
The arm is then raised to the head and kept in place with that little contraption there, kind of a combination of bandages and casts to keep the arm elevated and to keep the skin there.
Yeah.
And it's left attached to the arm so that it doesn't die. The arm is then bound to the head to hold it in place, and after 8 to 10 uncomfortable days, when the skin has healed to the tissue of the defect, the lower part of the skin flap is cut, freeing the arm and allowing the reconstruction of the nostrils.
Okay, I just want to say that's like the most horrifying thing I can
even
fucking imagine.
Is it more horrifying than walking around all day with like a giant skull hole in your face?
Yes, I would say. I would say it is, yeah.
I mean, but think about this, TJ. Like, this gives you an option. And I mean, yeah, it's a bad option.
It's 8 to 10 bad days that you got to spend holed up with this fucking contraption.
You got a Mr. Potato Head nose.
But if you're living in the fucking 15th century, you're going to be like, I'd rather just have no nose. I'm sure there's plenty of people that's what they did. This is probably for rich people.
Well, that nose there, I mean, they would obviously trim it. And, like, this dude actually produced a serviceable-looking nose. It wasn't perfect, but it was actually...
It was something.
Way better than the Indian method described. Using more skin from the arm allowed the doctor to trim more away and contour the nostrils and make it look like an actual piece of skin.
See, here's what a lot of people did too.
There were false noses.
Yeah, like this kind of shit.
Yep.
Which obviously is not surgical, so no. It doesn't really directly relate.
I mean, a lot of people still do that. A lot of people that are missing noses now, instead of having something like this done, will have a really, really, like, almost indistinguishable false nose.
Yeah, I've seen those kind of cosmetics. people who have...
Well, there was if you go back to that picture you pulled up, there was a dude that had one.
But for these things to be developed, TJ, you needed these interim
stages. See him up
stages.
There?
That's right here.
You needed these gradual
and this
ideas, and you needed that shift forward. I mean, like, look, this guy never would have had this fucking option to have this nose if there hadn't been interim stages that led to the, you know, obviously invention of, you know, prosthetic that made almost the... It's almost like a facsimile. It looks exactly like the real nose.
Yeah.
Right. But Tagliacozzi was also known for being kind of a forward-thinking guy, because at the time, losing your nose due to venereal disease was seen as like a sign of your sin coming back to haunt you, and he rejected that. He believed that it wasn't punishment for your sins, and he saw plastic surgery as a means for mankind to improve itself. So he was really a foundational guy in plastic surgery, but for a long time it really remained about rebuilding people's noses, and other kinds of deformities were kind of thrown by the wayside. People just had to live with them. Many of them killed themselves or were killed for it. But really what moved plastic surgery forward more than any event in human history was war
never
and in particular
changes.
World War One sent home just like multitudes of horribly crippled, horribly, unimaginably disfigured soldiers. And,
right, so they go off to war and,
they come back and
something would blow up in their face,
right,
and they'd survive somehow, but, like, what was left of their face was, like, a fucking horrible nightmare.
What are we looking at here?
This is a shop that made partial masks. Some of these are life casts of actual injuries, as you can see.
Sure.
Some of them are very disfigured. But the guy there is working on a partial mask for somebody who had part of their face blown off.
Oh.
And this is actually the precursor of plastic surgery, like facial reconstructive plastic surgery, because similar things are done now. It's just with different materials. The face is reconstructed, the cartilage and bone, and then flesh is knit over that.
Sure.
So this was kind of really all that the guys could do. But this kind of technology, making these masks more realistic for these guys. So if you go forward a little bit, TJ, you can see some of these dudes. This guy is actually wearing a partial face mask. You can tell kind of up at the top. He's had his eyes, probably part of his nose blown off. His forehead is probably horribly scarred. So you can kind of see the borders of the mask. But you can tell that this would allow this man to go out in public without drawing everybody's stares and to have a reasonable sense of himself again. And so I'll read a little bit here from something I pulled. Writing in the 1950s, Sir Harold Giles, a pioneer in the art of facial reconstruction and modern plastic surgery, recalled his war service. Unlike the student of today, who is weaned on small scar excisions and graduates to hair lips, we were suddenly asked to produce half a face. So like I said, war drove the need medically for these people who were valuable to society, who we wanted to honor, to come home and have a semblance of a life. And so it really pushed facial reconstruction. But it opened up avenues for people who were born with congenital defects as well.
Yeah.
To finally, for the first time literally in human history, have some kind of relief from that horrible like body dysmorphia that happens when you think about yourself in your mind as I'm Paul, as Paul has always looked, but when you see yourself in the mirror, half your face is missing. Well, now these people have the ability to go out. There were some really touching things. One of the guys sent a thank you and to the people saying that he could now have he's now found a wife that will have him. You know, so it was life-changing for these people and life-changing for people that had horrible disfigurements.
Genetic deformities and stuff, yeah.
Right.
And over the years, as more wars happened, so World War II came along, creating a new impetus for this type of thing. And slowly but surely, we got to modern plastic surgery, built on a bed of trying to relieve people who were disfigured in one way or another, whether by birth or by war or by accident or by malicious intent, to live something like a normal life. But it is something completely different today. Completely different today.
Who's this guy?
This is, let's see here. This is Vincenzo Cerini. And he was living in 1895, kind of a plastic surgeon. And he pioneered the first reconstructive breast surgery.
Cool.
So he was the first guy to take this principle of like facial reconstruction and body reconstruction and apply it to the titty.
TJ,
salute this man.
This is an important man.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, this man.
Salute this man.
Look, even today, his pioneering work is felt. Look at Instagram, dude. Look how many fucking breast implants. Maybe 3 or 4 million operations done in the U.S. every year. Without this man, TJ, how many fake pairs of tits would not be squeezed right now?
His methods were a little strange.
Oh, were they?
Yes. So he documented what is believed to be the first breast reconstruction surgery on a 41-year-old singer who was concerned about asymmetry in her breasts after having a tumor and much of the surrounding tissue removed from her left breast. As you can imagine, though, today's medical technologies and prostheses were not available, so old Vinny had to improvise. This is a quote from him. Luckily, the lady had a lipoma larger than a fist in the right lumbar region. I decided, therefore, to use this for reconstruction of the extirpated breast. So she had a big
fatty tumor
on her ass.
He's like, I'll just use this to
work.
He cut it off and threw it up in her titty and made a new titty out of it.
Okay. Rock on.
Although the tumor transfer method of breast augmentation didn't stick, not everyone had a convenient lipoma or two waiting to be harvested after all. It got the gears going for surgeons and medical innovators who followed. Between the 1890s and 1960, no single technique for breast augmentation and reconstruction had staying power. largely because so many of the experimental methods from injecting paraffin to glass balls to alcohol sponges failed miserably. Today, however, there are several medically sound options.
Thank God for today.
That brings us
Didn't HBO make a movie about the silicone dudes who came up with the silicone titties?
They did indeed, yes.
And it's called Breast Men, I think.
Yep, yeah. It is.
And then, of course, unfortunately, they started leaking and killing a bunch of the women.
Well, whatever.
That happened in the 80s, yeah.
That's what you got to do sometimes.
The paraffin injection method, I couldn't find any pictures that we could probably use on YouTube.
Right, yeah.
So basically wax?
It was paraffin wax. Yeah. And at first it would settle in a kind of a pleasing, heavy way and reconstruct a breast. Oh. But after a while, the body would start to break it down and it became all lumpy and flumpy and horrible. Like some of the pictures are just like awful of women that had this. But it remained in vogue for like 30 or 40 years. So there are like 30 or 40 years where the women that wanted bigger boobs or wanted to reconstruct a breast that they had to have removed or whatever it was, they got all this fucking wax injected into their titties. Another one of the weird ones that I really couldn't corroborate anywhere else but was mentioned in several articles, I couldn't find any pictures, was glass. They actually took really sterile, thick glass and would shape it like a titty and then implant that and then pull skin over it.
I mean, it's glass. I don't know, man.
Horrible.
Doesn't seem like the greatest idea. I remember when I was watching that Breast Men movie on HBO back in the day, whenever it came out, they actually did show some of the sponge tits.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Because
remember, there was like that sponge method where they
alcohol sponge.
And like, I remember the titty looking like it had sponge holes in it, basically. Like somehow the tit just like got sucked into the sponge.
Yep.
And it was horrible. It was like a nightmare.
So surgeons have been trying to enlarge breasts since at least the 1890s. At that time, doctors injected. We talked about the paraffin.
Yeah, paraffin.
To say it didn't work was an understatement.
Sponges.
The paraffin resulted in infections, migration of the wax to other parts of the bodies, and hard lumps in the breast. But once again, for 30 years, that was the in vogue way to get bigger titties.
Oh, yeah.
In the 1940s, women, most notably prostitutes and exotic dancers in Japan... Whoa. TJ's phone blowing up.
Good job, TJ.
Sorry.
TJ, you're fired.
You're fired, TJ.
All right, I gotta go then.
So
the 1940s, as we were saying.
Yeah. God, thank God, man. I feel like a weight's been lifted off this show. TJ's gone. So in the 40s, most notably prostitutes and exotic dancers in Japan started having liquid silicone oil directly injected into their breasts.
Oh, wow. So not even contained in a sort of a sack.
No sack.
Really just injected right in.
So the material was right. They were right about, like, you know, silicone feeling kind of like a breast feels. But their method of just putting it right in the titty. And I did pull a picture, but TJ's gone.
I mean, that's highly, as you know, highly dangerous.
Yes.
But I mean, obviously at the time they were lacking the chemical knowledge and research to say, hey, this is going to fucking break down your body and kill you.
And it was all kind of underground, too. It was like these sex workers wanted to have the big, luscious titties, so they'd go to these unscrupulous doctors and they'd say, well, I could try this on you, and they'd do it, and it would work for a while.
Well, yeah, I mean, in contemporary times, you know, obviously that was changing in the 40s. People were probably that's probably the birth of like the big breast being the most attractive feature. Because like if you look at a lot of classical, you know, like Greek sculptures or Roman sculptures, they imitated that. Like, there was a body type of women that was like, this is the best body type to have.
Yep.
And now
TJ, get your ass back in here, you piece of shit.
And of course now
you're rehired.
Yeah. And of course now it's, you know, big tits and a big ass. That's basically what we want. And, you know, with modern plastic surgery, that's available to you, but...
Yeah.
You know, if TJ would actually get his ass back here so we can look at the fucking image, that would be good.
Yeah, what the fuck?
If we could actually see the fucking image, it'd be good, TJ.
Sorry.
You tajip shit?
Who was that, TJ? Your fucking trash company?
You fired me, you know? I had to go.
Why don't you put yourself out for the fucking curb, TJ? Get your fucking self hauled away.
This isn't what you want, is it?
Well, that is what I wanted about 15 minutes ago, TJ.
Before it? Ooh!
So this is like a more modern silicone breast implant. Right. And this is obviously a purely cosmetic one. This is a woman that had small boobs and she wanted big old fat titties. And so here's how it works out.
And she got it.
She got what she wanted.
She got what she wanted.
So the injections, like I said, of silicone directly into the titty were pretty horrible. There was organ damage and chronic inflammation and migration of the silicone to other parts of the body. Just like with the paraffin wax, it not being contained in any kind of thing inside of the titty was a horrible problem. On top of that... They were using industrial grade silicone.
Oh my God.
So, yeah, it caused infections. Dude, like, and horrible, like, things.
I think I told you and TJ about the radium watches, and people used to paint their faces up with this, and obviously it's radioactive, and
right.
No one knows. It's like, oh, it's a fun little thing. It glows in the dark. Same thing with this. Like, oh, I've got bigger tits, but obviously at what cost?
Right. Liquid silicone for cosmetic enhancement, despite its checkered history, is still valuable to this day on the black market for boob jobs and black market cheap, you know, make my tits bigger for a while kind of thing.
Unfortunately, yeah, I mean, dude, I read this expose with this plastic surgery clinic in Miami, dude, and it was just like, it's like a basically a butcher shop, and people don't realize it. It's like they're sending people in, and like, it's, oh, you get a butt lift for $1,000 or $2,000, because normally these procedures through legitimate doctors who are board certified and all that are like
right.
tens of thousands. It's like, oh, you get bargain basement. And I mean, literally, these women die.
Yep.
Still happens to this day, but as you were saying.
So the
well, what you're gonna do is we're gonna just inject oatmeal in the ass.
That sounds good. Oatmeal ass.
I want an oatmeal
delicious.
Ass.
I want that oatmeal ass. Oatmeal ass.
So in 1960, the modern silicone breast implant was invented. TJ mentioned Breastmen, which I recommend you watch if you're interested in a deeper dive onto that topic.
Deeper diving in them titties, motherfucker.
But yeah, right now we're gonna take a deep dive into some titties because. Really, like, as I started doing this, I kept being drawn back to the titty, and I was like, you know what?
The titties.
We need to spend some time talking about titties. So let's talk about titties for a minute.
Titties.
Breast implants did not become popular overnight. The results were often unnatural looking, like what you see before you. And many women developed capsular contracture, which is scar tissue around the implant. So they would get, like, you know, weird stretch marks and kind of scarring on their tits. So the early adopters of this technology were not always happy with the titty that they got for their money.
Titty wasn't worth it.
And some of those side effects are still prevalent today in women that get breast implants, by the way. But the next generation of implants were made with polyurethane foam shells in an effort to reduce the risk of capsular contracture. But these were later found to break down into known carcinogens in animals.
God.
So,
man, we've tried, man, it's been a long road.
The pursuit of titties has been fraught with danger and personal peril, and many women have sacrificed themselves upon the altar of big tits.
God bless them all.
Yeah, I mean, pioneers. I mean, what else would you call them?
I would call them
these
nothing
early
other
adopters.
Than pioneers.
They are. I mean, and look, you see here, it's like nothing. And then she has, but see, the problem with these, this is on the right, these look ultra fucking fake.
I mean, this is one style of, it's why I don't like fake titties in general. Now, I don't know how you guys feel about them. I'm sure there are some ways
I'd
of doing them
case
where it's,
by case.
Yeah, I mean, but this type of like, I've got two halves of a coconut on my fucking chest thing. You see it a lot and it's just not, I think she looks better on the left.
I'm down with I'm down with the big fake titties.
See, TJ likes a big fake giant titties.
Yeah, I don't know. I think for me, it kind of rises to the level of like, I like when they look fake because I'm like, yeah, that bitch was surgically enhanced just to be like a sex doll.
You know what? And if you read Manson's book, TJ, if you squeeze fake tits, it doesn't count as cheating.
Really?
They're fake, remember?
That's true. It's not even a real tit.
So when breast implants were first marketed, the FDA was not yet regulating medical devices. And so. Breast implants, despite being really dangerous, managed to sneak in and get grandfathered in when the FDA started regulating medical devices and continued to be used even though they were found later to be profoundly dangerous in some ways.
I see.
In the 70s and 80s, implant makers came up with silicone-filled implants that had thinner shells. These implants looked more natural but were more likely to rupture. And it was discovered that silicone gel was leaking out of the implant shells in the 80s.
That's how that movie ends, by the way. Kind of. They get in all kinds of lawsuit trouble because of the... It turns out their titty revolution still had some issues.
So I pulled... These are just three pictures. This is obviously Victoria Beckham or Scary Spice. This is Heidi Montag, who had a very publicized boob job. She went from, you know, the left to the right pretty much overnight.
Today. All natural.
Maybe her tits just spontaneously grew in the night.
I don't think so.
Oh.
And became like perfectly round beach balls on her chest.
She looks like she had way more plastic surgery than just breast implants.
Yeah.
Like, she looks like she had...
Carmen Electra.
Carmen Electra, another and another person who has had
and
more
by the
done
way,
than just titties.
If Violent J is to be believed, then, you know, She is quite promiscuous, so.
Oh, yeah, whoa. That's right.
He said, I want to fuck Carmen Electra because she'll fuck anybody first day she met you. So, like, literally, like, it doesn't matter who you are. You could be a homeless person. She's not going to give you the bum's rush. She'll let you rush at her bum.
Clearly, she fucked Violent J. So, I mean, if you fuck Violent J,
I don't think she fucked Violent J.
I mean,
J.
Clearly, he said it, dude. Why
he
would
didn't.
He say
he said, "I." He said, "I want to fuck Carmen Electra."
I don't know.
So maybe he's just being gentlemanly about it.
Yeah, I think he did it, man. I think she was like, you know what, ICP fuck. You know what's this about? She fucked Dennis Rodman. Come on, how about Violent J?
Yeah, I mean, I'd
fuck Violent J.
If you fuck Dennis Rodman, I think you'd be down to fuck Violent J.
That's what I'm saying, dude. She probably just wanted to say, hey, this guy looks like he's a fat fuck. He's a little weird. He's freaky. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I don't know.
The next one's, another recognizable booby figure.
What? Pamela Anderson.
Pam Anderson. On the left, natural. You can see the natural sag of a natural boob. And on the right, you can see two basketballs have been shoved. Do you prefer the left or the right, TJ?
I prefer the right.
You
the
what
left
is it? Can you
better.
Can we talk for a second about what it is?
Yeah.
About the big, giant, oblong looking, weird, uncomfortable, strange boobs that you like.
I don't know.
What is it?
I just
you have to have given some thought to it. You've got to give me more than I don't know, TJ.
I like the fact that she has gone through extraordinary lengths to transform herself into, like, basically a human sex doll.
Like a bimbo.
Right. I have a bimbo kind of thing.
So you want to fuck like a sex doll, is what you're saying to you. You just want a sex doll in your room?
I mean, I don't know if I necessarily...
I mean, they got them now if you want that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it, like, just the idea of a woman that's, like, so devoid... Like, that's so dumb... And bimboized that, like, she doesn't know any better but to just fuck you any way you want?
Yeah, pretty much.
She's just like, I don't know. I mean, these big lips put in so I could suck dick better.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's more just... It's not even so much about, like, dumb or anything like that. What it's about is just the fact that someone has kind of just completely devoted themselves to being a sex object. Like, they're like, I don't care about any other pursuits.
I did this to feel empowered, TJ. What if she did it to feel empowered?
Well, then she really is stupid. But, I mean, like, the ones who do it, honestly, is like, I want to look like a fucking giant-titted, giant-ass, giant-lipped, fucking completely plastic, fucking living. Like, basically,
this doesn't apply to, like, women that just get breast augmentation. It's like, I had no tits and I'm a C-cup or something. You're talking about, a certain
you
lifestyle.
Can obviously take it to different lengths and a different
and you
extent.
Want to take it to an extreme.
I mean, not necessarily. I don't object
well, you
to what's brought to that
well, you
level.
You kind of said that's what you liked about it. You want this very sort of bimbo-ish look. So, I mean...
I'm saying I don't object when it's brought to that level. It doesn't have to be brought to that level. I mean, look... You know, I mean, she's attractive in both fucking pictures. There's no doubt about it.
You prefer the right is what you're saying.
I mean, it just depends maybe on the mood I'm in, too. I don't know.
Huh? All right. Well, fair enough.
But I have no problem with the right hand. I mean, like, that was the one that got me watching fucking Baywatch and shit, so.
Oh, right. Someone's drowning.
You know, I loved... Well, I mean, I didn't fucking really watch the show, but if I happened to be flipping channels and there was Pamela Anderson running down the beach, which happened like,
but she looked like
10
she was,
times an episode.
She looked like she was on the left in Baywatch, though.
Not really. I mean,
she
well,
was like,
she
was
kind of,
yet,
she
plastic.
Was kind of, she was in between these two forms at that point.
All right, well, go ahead and pull up a picture.
But them titties were definitely plastic
go
back
and pull
then.
Up a picture,
I don't think
then.
So. I think she had just.
I think there's a dispute.
I think she had the natural jubblies like this.
And I did watch Barbed Wire.
Well, yeah, by barbed wire she era, she had the plastic titties, for sure. But I think during Baywatch, or at least during most of Baywatch, as I remember it, she had the jubblies on the left.
Yeah, I kind of thought, didn't she kind of get in response to just, like, aging and getting older? So it's like, to me, clearly you see on the right, I mean, or on the left, that no plastic surgery. Then on the right, she's had a facelift of some kind, because, like, her skin's
nose
super
job,
tight.
Probably.
Yeah, nose job, oh yeah, for sure. Eyes, everything, like, she had everything done.
Yeah.
She's done so many recreation photos at this point. I'm trying to find one that I definitively know is from the original series.
From the old Baywatch, yeah. Because, like, those titties on the left are no slouches. They're pretty big.
Here, let me just kind of... I'll just share with you guys what's going on here. So, let's see.
That's an old one.
Yeah, those look like they might be her... I don't know. They're pushing out pretty far.
I mean, she might have like a push-up bra going on now,
this,
or something.
This, the implants have definitely happened at this point.
Maybe.
No,
I don't know.
Absolutely.
I can't really tell. I can't really tell, TJ. That's, it's hard to tell.
Now, this is
like
a
push-up bra is a thing that'll make a titty do that.
And yeah, I don't know.
See, I think these are real, dude.
I
think she was real for most of her Baywatch, dude.
She's obviously older there.
Right.
Let's see.
I don't know,
man.
We got a dispute.
Looks fake.
I don't know.
Some of these look fake. Some of these don't.
Well, I'll tell you what. I don't even. Let's just see here. I got a little something. Hold on.
Paul, I got a little something for you.
So I think, I'm thinking, and maybe it's just the angle of the photo here and
shit. Angle of the titties.
Yeah.
Wait, that's not even her. Where's hers?
It's the next one.
That was her biggest competition, though.
So I'm looking at an even earlier picture here, probably before this one, where it looks like she might have already had some surgery at this point, but I don't know. That could just be the angle, because they look bigger here than they do here in this like super early photo when she just started out. So
yeah, I don't know, dude.
Like, you know, they kind of look like they've already got some work done in this before, quote unquote.
We need
picture.
A fucking real expert. We need a plastic surgeon to tell us what's what, dude, because they would know.
I need to be told, honestly, because the mystery of pants
and
boobs.
What the hell was that?
That's our next topic.
What's going on here?
Maybe we should move on to her. I think the mystery of Pam's boobs.
We got two very big reasons.
It's too big
to move on.
It's too big to settle in one show.
That's like a couple of fucking bowling balls in a shirt right there.
These are the now disputest. Now disputed because of stuff we'll get into, biggest titties in America.
Okay.
And they belong to a woman named Shayla Hershey.
Shayla.
So she resides in Houston. She's 5'3". She's 28 years old, and she's a Sagittarius. There you go.
Oh.
For the guys that want to know. She's a proud wife and mother. She was born in Brazil and likes to travel. She's fluent in Portuguese, Spanish, Italian, Chinese, and English. So no slouch.
No.
No bimbo, this one.
Bilingual skills.
She's multilingual.
Yeah, dude, what are you talking about? Bilingual, that's an insult,
Yeah, that's
dude.
True. Bi is only two. What is it? What would you even call it?
Well, she speaks English, obviously, and then Portuguese, Spanish, Italian, and Chinese. So that's at least five. That's five languages.
Septilingual? I don't even know.
Septilingual. There you go. So she's had over 18 plastic surgeries.
Shocking.
Mostly to her breasts, but also like to her nose, her lips,
that's
and her
even,
buttocks.
That's just a butt on your chest at this point. You just got another ass on your chest side.
At
the time of the writing of the article that I pulled this from, her breast size was triple K. Triple K.
So you must have to get custom bras made at that point, right?
At some point, yeah, you got to be working with somebody who's making your bras, because that's just an absurd amount of titty. So she's was awarded with the Brazilian equivalent of the Guinness Book of World Records award for her titties.
Right.
She's never been recognized by any other source, but it's speculated that these are indeed, especially at the time of this picture, the biggest titties in America.
I mean, I would imagine some fucking 900-pound trailer park bitch probably has some bigger titties.
No, nope.
Well, yeah, because
I mean,
she's not showing them off to everybody to speculate, right?
Right, yeah, I guess.
You know what I mean? That's hidden under a muumuu, and that's on a couch that nobody but Jerry Springer ever sees, you know?
Okay.
So she was obsessed with maintaining her Brazilian world record and continued to get bigger breasts, and an infection set in after her 30th breast enlargement.
Damn.
Hard to believe.
Another pioneer, huh?
An operation that led to 5'3" Shayla undergoing an emergency operation in June 2010 and basically having her implants removed. And her breasts were left pretty bad looking, sagging.
Right, because obviously they're just like skin at that point.
Right.
Husks at that point, really.
She said that not having her titties almost drove her to suicide.
Well, yeah, I mean, she's, like, been defined by the titties for so long.
Right. She said, not having my breasts was killing me. I didn't know if I could make it through 2012 without them, she said. So she actually went on a clandestine mission to get these titties back. She ignored the wishes of her doctors, her psychiatrists, and her husband, all three, you know, important people to listen to probably in your life when you're making big decisions.
Right.
She lied to her husband and said that she was going to Mexico to talk to some reconstructive surgeons that were going to fix the sagging skin that she had, maybe just make some normal-sized boobs for her.
But it were all a lie.
But it were all a lie, and she came back once again looking like this. So this is a more recent photo of Shayla. So she has gone right back to, she claims it's the same size. They look about the same size to me. She's right back up to triple K. Well, now, no.
No, she's 38 triple M.
38 triple M, yeah. But I was desperate to claim my status as having the world's largest breast implant. She still is disputed due to our next pair of titties. This is the biggest pair of titties.
Definitely bigger. Like, look at the, it's like, when it gets to the point where, like, your fucking titties look like Borg skin because all the veins have nowhere to go but the surface, then it's like you've gone, like, much too far.
Now, once again,
because you know what? Like, I look at this. It's hard to believe it's real. I can still see, like, appeal there, but, like, over here, I don't see, like, what?
That looks like my ass ripping through a pair of underwear on her chest.
Your ass is not that big, Paul.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, how the fuck does she even walk around with fucking those things, dude? That must be. She must have horrible back pain.
So this is Myra Hills. She's German. She claims that she has the world's largest augmented breasts. Now, once again, there's a claim here because no rulemaking organization is looking to go who's got the fattest pair of titties on the planet. Yeah, and like TJ said, there might be some big old fucking 800-pound bitch in a trailer park somewhere that's got one titty that would put both of these to shame.
So
who knows?
So it's basically puffery. It's like they want the title saying, hey, in my opinion, I'm the biggest.
They
want
to at least have big enough tits to make a claim.
Right.
Sure.
But she's claiming augmented breasts, and that is something that you'd think would be trackable. And as far as I could find, nobody in the world has bigger fake titties than Myra Hills. She lists her weight as 130 pounds. But that may not be completely accurate, considering each breast contains 10,000 cc's of saline.
Wow.
That's insane.
Yeah, like, I follow a subreddit that's called 1,000 cc plus.
Yeah.
That's for big fake tits.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I've ever seen, I never seen no 10,000 titties before.
This is a 10,000 cc silicone implant.
This to me reaches the point where I'm like, no.
Yeah, too much.
Like, it's too much even for me, where I'm just like, okay, you've gone too far.
It's been speculated that each of her breasts could weigh upwards of 20 pounds.
Jeez.
Which the Metro helpfully points out it's equivalent to the weight of a toddler, a car tire, or four large rainbow trout per titty.
Right.
So she's basically carrying two toddlers around on her chest all the time.
I mean, like, just like, carry around like 40, just like find a 40-pound thing and just hold it to your chest all day, you know, through some straps or something. I mean, that's like, you know, that's fucking untenable.
Her website says that her chest comes in at a whopping 72 pounds or more than half her body weight.
No. I don't think that's
so
true.
So I think she might be pouring a little hot sauce on that one
that
there.
That seems like it.
I think I pulled maybe one more picture of her, or no? Is that all
we
got?
I think
you
got three.
Yeah. Is that the third? Yeah. Here's another picture of her.
Some.
I mean, this just looks.
I mean, that's just not even tits.
It honestly looks
it's
like.
It's not even tits anymore,
it's a butt.
Okay?
It's
it looks
a
like
butt.
Her chest is pregnant.
It looks like. What's the fuck? What's Harry Potter's? It looks like Harry Potter's uncle's ass at this point. Sitting in a
Uncle
fucking
Vernon?
Chair. Yeah. It looks like Uncle. This is. She's got Uncle Vernon's ass stapled to her chest.
Now, the size she claims of her breast, 32Z.
Z?
Z.
We're running out of letters.
At this point, anybody that comes after her is going to have to invent a letter for the alphabet or put more Zs.
It's going to be like quadruple Z or something.
Here's another one of her.
Oh, okay.
Just absolutely. They're beach balls. They're beach balls at this point, like fully inflated. Beach balls.
Dude, I want it. I don't know if why. I don't even.
It's like a baby zebra's being born.
Look,
dude.
TJ,
what the fuck, dude?
You seem even to be put off by this size of titty. Is that what I'm getting
too,
off of you?
It's too much.
Too much?
It's too much even for me.
In case there's any deviance in our. In case. In our
in
audience.
Case, yeah. No, dude, someone has whipped their dick out at this point.
If you want to find Myra Hills, she goes by her performer name is Bashine. And but she is, and she has a XXX website that she runs where she pulls these big old things out and presumably lets dudes nut on them and all kinds of shit.
So if you're one of those dudes that likes
hey,
this,
if you want to check out more than we can show you on YouTube, that's how you find her. Bashine.com, it looks like right
Thank
there.
Thank you to Paul's ego for letting the perverts
Not a
know.
Problem. Hey, I'm looking out.
Look out for the perverts.
For everybody. Because I definitely didn't go try and find pictures. I did.
It's too much.
I did. I actually went. It's too much. I actually saw these
titties.
I saw these puppies out of their thing, and let me just tell you, they look pretty much like they do in the clothes.
Yeah. There's no clothes can really contain that anyway.
Some very sexual research is going on, Paul. Very
so this
sexual.
Is, the extremity of this has to raise a question, right? This giant pair of titties here, and maybe even the ones before, mm-hmm. bordering on absurdly sized titties. What about plastic surgery addiction?
Well, yeah, clearly.
Look at Michael Jackson, dude.
Well, I mean, we're going to cover Michael.
I mean, he's a prime example. But yeah, but obviously a lot of people suffer from this syndrome. Like, it's just crazy. You know, like, I have seen, I think we've all seen pictures of, like, you know, those, like, list sites of, like, look at these people that have just gone too far with plastic surgery. And, dude, you see some, like, astonishing transformations where it's like, like, at first, you can see, like, transitional, like, thing. Okay, well, this person, they did their chin. That looks a little weird. Then it gets to the point where, like, they just don't even look human.
Well, I pulled quite a few of those cases for us to take a look at. But there is a kind of some medical knowledge about cosmetic surgery addiction. It's caused by a condition called body dysmorphic disorder, yeah. which not everybody that has engages in surgical addiction.
Yeah, there you go.
It's an individual becomes preoccupied with a slight or imagined abnormality in their appearance, which a person without the disorder might interpret as a quirk, individualistic, or perfectly acceptable. The obsession often causes significant social or occupational impairment, as well as emotional problems. People with body dysmorphic disorder will often seek plastic surgery in order to alleviate their distress, but since they have a mental disorder and not a physical one, they will always find something new that is perceived to be wrong with them.
Oh my god, dude! When she put it on the screen, I was like, it's like, you know, that's like, you know, that fucking song, "Welcome to My Nightmare."
I mean,
it's like, it's just crazy that people, and like a doctor actually says this is a good idea. Make your lips look like fucking giant. It's like you know those wax lips you had as a kid. You put it in your fucking mouth like, I've got big lips. It's like she did that, but permanent.
Well, this is actually a trans woman. She was born Fluvio Pellegrino. She now calls herself Fluvia Pellegrino. She lived as Fluvio for 40 years. And despite having identified herself as transgender since she was about 16, so she was closeted for a very long time. Mm-hmm. 2000, however, she finally set out to transition, though not before taking her wife, Marissa, who shortly gave her blessing. So she was married and remains married to the same woman that was married to her when she was a man. Mm-hmm. Pellegrino has spent around $87,000 on plastic surgery to help with her transition, a tally that includes more than 150 lip and cheekbone fillers.
So let me just like say, like, when
ask
you,
for your money back.
When you transition to a woman and all that, like, be sure to specify that you want the woman to be human.
I think I might have pulled another picture of Fluvia.
Yeah.
Jesus, okay.
I mean, it's one thing to get these.
No, I didn't.
No, you didn't.
Okay, that's fine. Well, you can find some more if you want to.
Yeah, I'll look.
Because it's really interesting. There was a bunch. I just pulled this one here.
Like I said, it's one thing.
Pellegrino.
I mean, and I understand people that, you know, are trans that do these surgeries, get these the surgeries, but that's like, this is way overkill. It's just like, it goes far beyond the pale of saying, I want to look more like a woman. It's just like, I want to look like nobody. Like, who has lips like this?
No one on earth.
I mean, unless this person's wealthy, unless she's wealthy, I mean, $87,000?
$87,000 and...
Counting
at the time of the writing of this article.
Oh, yeah, because I mean, you could tell.
And a whole litany of other things. So and you can tell.
Yeah, tons of
incredible facial reconstruction, cheekbones, the whole nose has been redone.
Yeah, the
lips are obviously, the eyes have been redone. Also had four separate breast implants, two rounds of full liposuction. She's also hormone therapy in addition to all of that.
Sure.
And in addition, I guess the relationship she now has with her wife has morphed from that of a sexual partner to like a sister. So they don't have sex anymore. They just kind of live as friends or sisters. And obviously an example of somebody who has an addiction to facial reconstructive surgery or plastic surgery or whatever you want to call it.
And we know a lot of times these people, unfortunately, you know, like, especially because there's a lot of, like, you know, unethical plastic surgeons, like Kanye West's mom. That was a famous news story that came out. Like, all the doctors that basically that saw her, they were legitimate doctors, like, you're not healthy enough to get plastic surgery.
Yeah.
Until she found one that did, then, of course, she died from complications from that. I mean, that's the path this person's going to go down, too.
Yep.
Ultimately, if they don't get psychological help. I mean, because there's unscrupulous doctors that'll do this shit to somebody. I mean, I don't think any sensible fucking physician would say, yes, you need to look like this.
Or allow somebody to continue. Because, yeah, like, this isn't the result of one surgery.
That's what I'm saying.
It's like she comes back and back and back and back. Do my nose again. Do my cheeks again. More cheeks. More lips. More this. More that. Less this. Less that. And at some point, like, yeah, isn't it an incumbent on a surgeon to go, like, no more of this? Like, you're literally destroying your face. You're going to look like a... Like, think about, like, this is what she looks like at 40-something. Think about what she's going to look like at 60 or 80 with all of this stuff.
It's not going to be good. It's not.
I don't know how they're going to... Yeah, and they're, you know, they're not people of means, so it's like 87 grand is not just going to fall in their laps again. So what are they going to do, you know? Well, another example I found, and look, there are tons of these. We could spend all night going through these people. This is Nevin Siganovich.
He's riding a big old dick there.
Yeah, he's got, that's his dick.
Oh, that's just his
Yeah,
dick.
He's just got an erection, TJ.
Oh, okay.
He's standing in the pool with
TJ,
a boner.
Come on, dude.
He's floating on his balls, and he's got a boner, TJ.
I see.
He's a 45-year-old, which is shocking, right? Already off the top. He's a Croatian man. He's had more than a dozen surgical operations to enhance his nose, chin, lips, and stomach. Unfortunately, during one of those recent nose jobs, he was reportedly diagnosed with priapism, which...
What the fuck is that?
That's a prolonged erection that won't go away.
Oh, okay.
You can see here he's suffering. This is not like a cheeky little Insta post, TJ. This is him...
Oh, this is the real thing.
...suffering from priapism.
Dude. Okay.
So, here's a quote from him. I was in Iran for rhinoplasty for the documentary film that British Channel 4 was filming covering my life, he told Metro. We did not record the surgery, but only the consultation sessions with the doctor. They gave me general anesthesia, and I reacted badly to it. To make matters worse, Siganovich says he was not given painkillers to remedy the suffering, despite being in agony.
That's why you don't go to Iran.
Yeah, that's why you don't
for plastic go surgery to, or anything else.
But nobody else will probably cut on him anymore.
Right.
So that's probably the answer to our question.
Should
have
just come to America. We got all kinds of unethical doctors over there.
Yeah, we probably would have done it here. I don't blame him for not coming to America, though. I don't think I would if I lived outside of here.
You know what's crazy? If you get those erection that lasts longer than 4 hours, you know they have to treat that? They have to draw the blood out with a needle.
Cool.
Yep.
I don't envy this fucking dumbass.
So, following that undoubtedly horrendous experience, he underwent yet another operation to fix his perpetually tumescent dong. So, he got his dick drained of blood and allowed it to go back down. Though he wasn't able to recover a use of it for several months. So, this stud right here had to go without pussy or anything for 7 months.
Poor guy.
Which I think is the saddest story that we've heard tonight, personally.
Yeah. I mean, like, I thought that those soldiers had their faces blown off was kind of sad. I thought the, you know, people with hair lips that couldn't do anything about it
this
was kind of sad.
This man couldn't get laid for 7 months.
But this dude, you know, his dick.
No pussy.
First his dick worked
months.
Too much, and then his dick didn't work at all. And then he couldn't fuck for like, you know, 6-7 months or something. So
I mean, look at him suffering with it in that pool.
I know. It's like, what's he supposed to do? He's icing it down in the cool, cold pool water, and it just won't
just,
fucking
just
go down.
Rises up above the water every time. Just he's trying to push it down under the water to cool
it
off.
It just won't happen.
It just won't happen,
oh,
man.
Oh, it floats.
I like that word, tumescent.
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 So, of course, last but not least, let's talk about Michael Jackson.
We're not done talking about
here's an Instagram photo right
here,
guys.
We forgot to look at his Insta pics.
Insta.
I did pull it.
Oh,
yeah.
Look at me. Like.
He's all tatted up. He's got all the fucking implants and stuff. So, is there a crazier transition?
No.
Than
no.
Michael Jackson
no,
from
there is not no
unsurgically altered to Michael Jackson as he looked when he died. This dude, I mean, look at him. He's honestly a good looking dude on the left. And probably would have remained a good looking dude his whole fucking life. And probably due to this body dysmorphia that we talked about, He slowly but surely became this. Now, the lightening of his skin tone was vitiligo, a lot of that. He had vitiligo and lupus, and the treatments for that included lightening his skin. There were a lot of skin bleaching accusations that flew around Michael. Those have been found to be not true.
I don't understand the whole, because I've seen people with...
And it's patchy.
Yeah.
It's not always patchy.
It's not, it didn't just, you know.
Some people get it, and you can actually see some of the vitiligo, I think, on the picture on the left. But for some people, it leaves whole patches of their skin kind of unaltered from their normal skin tone. And in others, it's a progressive disease. It continually, like, they lose all of their melanin.
Vitiligo?
Vitiligo.
Oh, vitiligo.
Vitiligo. Yep. Yeah, I'll show you guys some pictures of other sufferers so we can kind of get an idea.
Sure.
Well,
I mean, and a lot of these people don't consider themselves to be sufferers. I mean, that woman there is beautiful.
Fair enough. I mean,
and I think a lot of these women are actually, you know.
I didn't necessarily, you know, whatever.
Come on, TJ.
Colloquially, whatever. So, yeah. A lot of times it actually makes a pretty cool pattern.
Yeah.
Like it marbles them. This like Samuel Jackson or no?
Well, you know, actually, there's another there's actually a baseball player, Sammy Sosa, who was like vying with Mark McGwire back in the day who had the most home runs and the record. But he's actually lightened his skin a bunch. Like, I've seen like postings and like news sites like he doesn't even look the same because he was actually a dark skinned guy. It's very similar to Michael Jackson. Then he just changed his skin tone to be.
Yeah, I mean, like some of those patterns don't even look real.
So I mean, like the thing is that it manifests like this, you know,
right?
Like, there, it's
in some people.
I mean, I'm not seeing anybody who would. Just,
I've seen
like,
a couple people that have.
It's
this
just
condition.
The whole face.
Well, the treatment for it. Caused the lightening of, so I guess it was okay. Some kind of a skin lightening treatment, but the treatment for vitiligo can cause it to just spread further. And I think some people undergo it because they want that homogenous
model bullied for vitiligo called Dalmatian wants to something. So that just shows you the kind of shit you get about it.
But Michael's skin tone change is hardly the least of what
right.
he
well,
had done. I mean, he,
I mean
his
just,
entire face was reconstructed.
That fucking nose is just, I mean, up until I saw those fucking lips on that one person, I don't remember her name or whatever, but that nose is a fucking disaster.
I mean,
there
nose.
Was speculation that at this point in his life and later he was actually wearing partially a false nose.
Because his
right.
real
oh,
nose
yeah.
had just collapsed
yeah.
from too many surgeries.
But he had extensive reconstructive surgery on pretty much every part of his face. His mom told Oprah Winfrey, Katherine Jackson sat down and talked with Oprah Winfrey during an interview and said that he didn't want to start looking like a spotted cow with his vitiligo. I don't know what in the world he did to change that, but he did. So she doesn't even know how he achieved this. Makeup. A combination of makeup and skin treatments, chemical peels, whatever it was. He underwent a range of surgical procedures, repeated rhinoplasty, and a number of treatments on his skin, cheekbone, and facial reconstruction.
Yeah, and his mother also said he was addicted, obviously, to plastic surgery.
Right. She said he had more than two. He was just embarrassed. I hear people get addicted to plastic surgery, and I think that's what happened to him. And she said she finally said that's enough, but not early enough. So, yeah, a dense topic, I guess.
I'm trying to find I'm trying to find something that tells us how many plastic surgeries Michael Jackson had.
That's never been released.
No one seems
I went looking last
to
night
have
too.
Any sort of definitive
There's a lot of
that.
Speculation and a lot of bullshit, but he never obviously told anybody, like, I've had 192 nose jumps. Like that, no, you're not going to find
I
that
mean,
anywhere.
I think the best bet you're going to get is looking at him and having the experts that I've ever had, that I've seen stories, like kind of covered this topic,
so I
said probably upwards of 20 or 30 surgeries, but that's just, like I said, that's someone speculating.
Here's another, we were doing some Snopes things last time, so I thought we'd look at this here.
Yeah.
Is this a real photograph of Michael Jackson?
I hope it's not.
in his zeal to have this sharply defined nose, he had done so many things the tissue could no longer withstand it. Okay, so this is the picture. Yep. You can see there's something really fucking weird going on there.
Yeah, like it looks like tape that's been kind of painted over with makeup, maybe, to cover up the nose. And
that is a real picture.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
So, I mean, that's like, you know, like most of the pictures you see of him, you know, as bad as he looks, you have to remember that's like him presented in the best possible fucking light.
He had such a fucking disastrous relationship with doctors in the medical science community because obviously Ultima ended up dying because they were putting him under with that fucking medicine.
Well, yeah, I mean, he obviously had some really bad, really destructive relationships with some unscrupulous doctors that would cut on his face to this point.
And not only that, but the other ones that were just feeding him whatever drugs he wanted.
Oh, yeah. Well, it just shows you that money, people with money live by two sets of rules. Because if you wanted to do this, you wouldn't be able to afford to.
Every time I want to go to sleep, just knock me out with a drug.
And you'd be told, like, it's bad for you, and there'd be psychological counseling and shit. But if you got enough money, you skip the line, and I'll cut your nose off again and remake it.
Then your doctor is just whatever, you know, they'll do whatever they want.
$2 million to fix your nose? Sure, I'll do it again. Come on in.
Yeah.
So, a pretty fucking... like I said, a pretty dense topic that we probably could delve back into at a future date.
Oh, yeah.
But a kind of a cursory look at least the history of plastic surgery and some of the ways it's employed. Left a lot of meat on the bone, though, especially like...
What about the penile implants? What about the penile implants?
Exactly. We didn't vaginoplasty, which is a big industry right now. We didn't get into penis enlargement and all of that.
We didn't even really get into modern reconstructive techniques.
I mean, because look at TJ. TJ over here suffering. He's got a small dick.
Yeah, and I've looked into it. There's really nothing good for us yet.
You can't do anything for
We're still in the fucking, like, inject it with paraffin wax stage as far as dicks go.
Beat your dick with a steel rod to make it longer.
What about jelking, dude?
Oh, yeah.
Jelking.
Yeah, I started jelking. I'm up to an inch now. It's awesome.
Sick, dude.
It's awesome, dude.
You can hang a weight off of it, dude.
Yeah.
Weigh your dick down.
Anyway, thank you guys for checking out the show. We'll be back on Wednesday for you patrons.
Thursday.
For Flash Fried.
Oh, sorry,
Thursday.
Wednesday.
For your patrons, we'll
Tuesday.
Be back Wednesday and
Tuesday.
Friday.
7 day.
For you non-patrons, we'll be back with some clips on Thursday and then next Monday.
Monday show, TJ?
Why are you not a patron?
Wednesday.
If you're watching this
Wednesday,
and you're not a patron, isn't it about time to start asking yourself why not?
Yeah.
Because we do so much shit, and it's good. It's good shit.
No, another thing we have
We have no complaints.
Another thing, TJ, we should mention
is
that in fucking just a few short days, we're going to the Big Chief in Gadsden, Alabama.
That's true.
Link in description. We'll put it down there. You guys want to go?
Do we know around what time we're going to show up over there?
I believe we said
it's
5
listed
p.m.
I think it's 6. Whatever. It's listed on the page that's going to be linked down below, so just check out the information.
Follow there. That. And hey, you want to make a road trip and come eat some sloppy-ass, greasy food?
Sloppy Joe.
And for people who said they were concerned, I've actually communicated with the owners of the Big Chief.
They
are going to be open. So people are saying, they might be closed. Nope. I've talked to the owners. They are going to be open.
So I actually, when we were doing the show, I became aware of a story. I didn't want to disrupt the flow of the show to do it, but I thought it was pretty crazy that this is going on. So I am going to show you guys, and maybe you'll think it's crazy as well. Unfortunately, it's one of those fucking super ad.
Yeah, this is crazy,
sites.
Dude. This is crazy. I don't care about this.
The inferno cannot be stopped. Fire chiefs say blaze ravaging Notre Dame Cathedral is out of control after spire collapses
Such
and the entire roof of the stunning 850-year-old building burns to ashes.
Jesus.
And we actually saw it. I saw it in real life. That's fucking crazy, though. I cannot believe
that's
gone.
So the cathedral
you are not kidding.
Is burning. This is what it looked like inside.
Such a shame.
That's
dude.
All lost. Not even sure at this point how much of the cathedral is going to be able to be saved.
That is insane. Whoa, look at that.
Yep, it's burning down.
How did this happen?
The Drudge Report is pointing out that back in 2016, ISIS tried to burn down the cathedral. So this could be ISIS
terrorism?
Taking another shot at it. It could just be a stupid mistake.
Yeah,
you know,
faulty
someone...
wiring or
Dude,
something.
Dude, it is so unthinkable to me that in a modern country, something this old and laden with historical significance would burn to the ground without some nefarious shit going on.
Yeah, but I mean, you just never know. I'm sure there's going to be an investigation.
I mean, if this was simple incompetence, whoever did this is one of the biggest retards in human history.
It says, Flash, main structure saved from total destruction. So,
okay,
at
so
least hopefully some of it is salvaged.
It looks like, something of it. Who knows at this point, you know? Paris firefighters save blaze-ravaged Notre Dame from total destruction. So apparently they've now got the fire under control. And some of it's going to be okay, I guess. The main structure
it's going to have to be rebuilt and cosmetically completely re-fucking...
yeah, it looks like a lot of it is going to have to be restored, probably. I don't even know. Maybe who knows what they're going to do.
That's crazy, dude.
But a very famous cathedral, obviously. Set of the Hunchback of Notre Dame and all that stuff. And a big tourist attraction. So.
Yeah, we all went there. Remember that, dude?
Yep.
We walked right in front of it.
So. Yeah, we saw it. It was a beautiful structure.
Yeah, it was.
So, yeah, that totally sucks dick. But I did want to bring that up to you guys before we left. So, anyway.
Leaving on a sour note, TJ. Damn, dude.
Thank you guys for watching. See you motherfuckers later.
Bye-bye.
Maybe they can give the Notre Dame some cosmetic surgery.